Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Rob Long, Jeremy Kahn, Ed Norris on vacation, joining us right now from FilmStudyBaltimore.com. He is Ken McCusick. What's going on, Ken?
Life's good, Rob. How about you?
Doing well. I cannot complain at all.
And we don't want to hear it if you did.
Now, one of the things that's going on, you tell you're in Baltimore for two reasons. Number one, you have a historically great kicker who's gone. And number two, we give a damn about kickers. So how is the kicker? I almost said another word other than damn, just to let you know. How is the kicker battle going on right now at One Winning Drive?
Well, you know, it's a little interesting because before yesterday, I would have said it was all but over. But 95-5, I would have said Tyler Loop was ahead of John Hoyland. But Loop missed three kicks on Monday.
Oh, man.
And they were mid-range kicks, wide left, donk left. One of the things that had been good about Loop, and he went 10 for 10 on Saturday.
Yeah, that's what Vinny told us.
Yeah, and it was included a 63-yard kick, and you know that looked like that ended it. I mean he's still got the only kick that's over 50 yards, made by either kicker, and they've kicked between them about 40 balls, more than that in fact now. I would say Loop has clearly got the edge largely because of that kick.
Okay.
But Hoyland made all four of his kicks on Monday. He's 20 of 22 in camp, and Loop is 27 of 30. So there you go, 52 total kicks between them.
See, I mean, we talked about this yesterday a little bit with Vinny at the end of our show, just speaking on kickers. Like, you really don't, you want to see him make all the kicks, but you really don't know what you have until you see them in NFL games, mm-hmm. right? So it's... This is something where you're gonna have to trust that they make the right decision. I don't know if you can hide somebody.
No, they won't be able to hide them. But both these guys will be kicking in the NFL this year. Would be my prediction. They both have until yesterday. And Loop, you know, regressed a little bit. They have a beautiful end over end rotation of the ball. And Loop going in his 10 for 10 day. I mean, it was all straight right down the middle kind
of
stuff.
That's what Vinny said. It was like you could have shortened that goalpost.
Yeah.
So again, is it something where do you have concerns of this right now because you're watching him miss, or you're not going to make your decision until you kind of see him in game environments?
I mean, he still made 90% of his kicks. These are his first three misses, but I'm not concerned about Loop.
Aren't most of these under 50 except for that one long one?
Yeah, that's right. All under 50 except for the
So, but yeah, it's just kind of interesting. I did want to bring up. You brought up another player here that we don't have on our radar, and Ruben Lowry. What can you tell us about this kid? Because it sounds like you're pretty excited talking about him and the type of person he is.
Yeah, it's he reminds me very much. Ravens have a type in the safety room. Ruben Lowry is a mechanical engineering degree holder from University of Tennessee, Chattanooga. 2 years ago, they had Jeremy Lucien on the team, who apparently was helping them kick a little butt in the DB's room in terms of knowing the answer and the call on defensive questions that were asked. And that really helps, by the way. If you have a really smart guy who's not necessarily at the top of the roster who can answer all the questions about what's going on, you kind of kick the butt of the bottom players in the room, if you want to think of it that way, the guys who are on the bubble. And I think Lowry is a good chance for that. Now, what makes Lowry's position even better is he had an interception last week. Now, The Ravens cornerback room started to get dinged up, and that's where a potential replacement would come at safety, which is the only hole on the team. So Lowry is right now in a great spot, I think, to make the team.
Ken McCusick, Film Study Baltimore, joins us. We started off talking about how deep the cornerback position was, and it always seems this way, Ken.
Every year.
Whenever you talk about depth at a position, that's the position that gets challenged with injuries.
Well, you know, we're fortunate in a sense that it's there and not somewhere else. But they've had a rash of injuries the last few days. Kone was hurt on Saturday. John Harbaugh said yesterday that he'd be back soon. Hope that doesn't mean half a season, but you know, we have that little kind of running joke. I would expect him to be back during the preseason. JAD was hurt during drills yesterday. Left practice, said he'll have an MRI. That's never good. Marlon Humphrey took his shoes off towards the end of practice. People were getting excited about that. I talked to Jeff Zrebeck about it. He seemed to think it was blisters. There might have been blisters on his feet. It didn't come up afterwards. Chidobe Awuzie has not played much the last 3 days. Not sure exactly what the issue is. Jair Alexander had swelling in his knees that apparently required a draining of the knee and missed practice on Monday. So, the guy with an injury history like his, you really are concerned about that, especially with all the reliance they seem to have. So you've got a cornerback position that is a lot thinner than it was. Tampa and JAD were two players they were talking about potentially moving to safety, or it's been discussed that either one of those could move to safety because their spot isn't secure at the bottom of the roster. But as of right now, they need the bodies to play corner during the practices here. So I don't think either of those guys will move this year.
Hey, Jeremy.
Yeah.
Was Christian Wilkins at the Ravens practice?
I don't know.
Because he said people got excited when Marlon Humphrey took his shoes off.
Oh, man.
I thought maybe. Oh, that's what's wrong, right?
Foot soldiers. Yeah. I don't, man. That Wilkins dude. Woo, buddy. Let's go to the offensive line here, Ken, because it seems like that's one of the better battles. I heard Vinny told us yesterday that it sounded like Voorhees was popping those pads louder than anyone else. What are you seeing with the battle at left guard and the rest of the line?
Yeah, Voorhees is a he's a upright kind of a player, so he's not perfect in terms of his pass blocking stance or anything like that. But he is a he's a reasonably I think he's still probably in the lead. But they are playing. This is a straight competition. I'd say the playing time has been divided in a way. Without saying exactly what's happened, it's indicative of real competition between Cleveland and Voorhees.
If he doesn't capitalize on this situation and come out in the Jason mask, the hockey mask, and just wear that pregame every time, I think he could get himself a little something here.
It was a little $8,000 fine for Terrell Suggs, when he wore the Bane mask.
<yeah. laughs>
And you know what? Everybody on Twitter said, totally worth it. Well, it's not your $8,000.
Yeah. Well, even the one when he had the Steeler shirt, too, that everybody just loved.
Yeah.
It was great. He was one that didn't care. He's very outgoing.
410-583-1057 is the number if you want to get in a question to Ken McCusick. But on the other side, Ken, I want to talk to you about the false starts that's going on right now in the Baltimore
Ravens. And I need to bring up Warren Sharp because there's some interesting stuff there that Ken was debating.
Ken McCusick joins us up next on The Fan. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan. Ken McCusick joins us from filmstudybaltimore.com. Ken, so you're telling me Ravens are having some false start issues at 11-on-11?
Yeah, a lot of false start issues. So this is a story that goes with this. So people are the media doesn't always dig in too deep to this, and I'll say this unfortunately, but they had six false starts. I think it was on Saturday, three more on Monday. But the reason this is happening is because they're trying to run a complex cadence where they don't always go on one. And Monken says, yeah, they could fix it. All they have to do is run on one, but then they might not be able to run complex cadences during the year where they go and whatever. And they run this set snap drill, and all 5 days of camp, they've run this as the first thing they've done with 11-on-11, where all they do is get the play in, call it in the huddle, run to the line of scrimmage, get set, snap the football, and get off, and then they blow it dead immediately.
Right.
Okay, so set and snap drills is what I call those. They may have another term for it. But they had one false start in that. They had another where they had to send the players back to the huddle because they didn't have the right play in or somebody didn't understand their positioning. So there have been some Keystone Cops-ish kind of things that have occurred there. And so far they haven't improved the false starts, I think, to the level they would like to. I would also make this point here. False starts are bad, but there is a cost of doing business. It's a kind of a price of playing poker, if you want to think of it,
right?
That come with false starts. The penalties they really need to figure out how to address are offensive holding and illegal player downfield. Those two are post-snap fouls. They're declinable by the defense. That option to decline has tremendous value to the defense. And with Lamar Jackson at quarterback, they need a different set of protocols for how to avoid those IDP flags in particular. And probably relates to offensive holding as well, but because he's running around so much, the offensive lineman can get in a different position relative to the guy he's blocking. And what they need to do is not move downfield until they get a visual of Lamar throwing the football. Their block is just not worth enough to risk that.
Let me talk about these one-score game things, because there's a lot of, I feel like there's a lot of disinformation. There's a lot of correct information, but if you kind of gauge it the way you want, I've said this before, I can pretty much take any trend and give you a side to believe in and make it look like it's the best thing ever, when factually, if you dive deeper into the numbers, it's not necessarily true. I personally really like Warren Sharp. I think he's been like the biggest Lamar supporter and showing statistics that support how good this guy is. But I really felt like he fell short in his last one about the one-score games with the Ravens, and it was unfair with some of the data that he's using.
Yeah, that's a fair way to put it. Since 2020, the Ravens are 23-24 in one-score games. 20-18 of that is Lamar. And you got to look at what's important. Is it more important to win a lot of games by two-plus scores or by one score? And the answer, by far, in terms of what is more indicative of a great team is how many two score and plus and greater games they win. The Ravens have won 86% of their games. They're 43-7 since Lamar played his first game in two plus score games. They've it's during that period, they're 31-26 in one score games. And by the way, if I looked at any sport, hockey, basketball, football, baseball, all of them have the same thing, that your great teams regularly beat the snot out of opponents and they have a much lower winning percentage in close games.
So again, just adding to this and looking at the numbers he's taken, because this is why I feel like it's so skewed at times. You'll see it in Major League Baseball where they go, during this hitting streak, this guy is doing this. Well, yeah, he's got a hit in every game, so it's obviously going to be, the numbers are going to look good. But where I feel like Warren Sharp fell short here is that it almost felt like he wanted to take a shot at Harbaugh and blame him for what's going on.
That's what I got. I got it was more of a Harbaugh stat than a Lamar
stat. And I know for a fact,
because he included everybody.
Stuff, he's not a big Harbaugh fan, but I just felt like it was a little unfair to kind of put that on John, especially when you're eliminating, you can't take away the good times and also use data that has an injured player in it.
And since 2018, I don't know exactly how far ahead, but I guess that any team other than the Chiefs, they probably have the best point differential.
Yeah.
I don't know for a fact, but I bet that. The Chiefs are the one team that you look at their record and you say, that's even more enviable than what the Ravens had. The Chiefs are 42-5 in games decided by more than one score, and they're also... and I forget the number here, 48-21 in games decided by one score, which is amazing. It's not sustainable, but it's amazing.
I'm still going to be reading Warren Sharp, but I just thought this one was disingenuous.
410-583-1057 is the number. Trippy in Baltimore has a question for
Hello?
You, Ken.
Hey, what's up with y'all? What's up, what's up?
It's Jeremy.
Ken.
Yeah, that's all right, man.
Is this Trippy Kiki?
I had a long week. Yeah, I had a long weekend. You know, I was out there yesterday. I was trying to talk to Ken, but, you know, I was on my quiet tip, you know what I mean? But, hey, Ken, I love the work you do, man. You be out there doing your thing, man. Make sure you stay cool out there. But how you feel about the offensive line? I mean, I saw what I like, but I want to hear your opinion. Like, what you think about the guards? Because that boy, Rosengarten, like, he got bigger. Ronnie, you know, he's still Ronnie. And, I mean, Tyler Linderbaum, you know, he's trying to get that contract. Them three, we know. Definitely for sure. I'm high on Falele, but I want to hear how you feel about him in that guard position. All right. All right. Hey, nice talking to y'all, man. All right.
Thanks, it easy, man. Kicker. Daniel Falele is one of the players I'm very optimistic about his 2025 season. So he finished extremely strong last year, played very poorly for the first 14 games. The last five, he was exceptionally good. Recent historical experience is always the most important, most pertinent. I'm very optimistic about Falele. And he, by the way, apparently had a great offseason. He works the entire time, lives here. He went to work with Duke Manyweather, is it? I'm trying to remember the guy's name, but he's one of the guys who was an offensive line guru that he worked with. And, you know, a guy who will invest in himself that way during the offseason, this is something Lamar has done, is going to be a guy who will show results. So I saw a great rep yesterday of Daniel Falele taking care of a defensive lineman. I said, wow, that really looks impressive. Of course, that other guy's a little small. The other guy turned out to be Travis Jones. He's pushing around. So
now, Ken, we know you are a big baseball fan, and you love the numbers of baseball. What's your thoughts as the trade deadline is coming up in 2 days?
Yeah, boy, the Orioles will be fielding a lot of offers potentially. Mm-hmm. We'll see what kind of the bullpen arms, obviously, with Dominguez being a real asset. I'm sure people will be circling around Trevor Rogers, who's got an extra year still under team control. It'll be interesting to see what they get offered. Cedric Mullins has some bad defensive metrics that don't, obviously one of the things he brings to a team is, you know, he's a great defensive center fielder, and we think that's true. I'm not sure if there's some other factor that's reducing his range factor.
Can I tell you, it's number one is his arm that factors in. Mm-hmm. Number two, he made a great play. Was it Sunday?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Or Saturday.
Whatever day that was. An inning or two before then, there was a ball that landed maybe 3 feet in front of him that I think he should have gotten.
Like last night, he broke back on one that was in, and he's so fast and he has the ability.
Yeah.
He got to it, even though he made the mistake of breaking back first.
I think that's where those things come in. I mean, he makes great plays. He does. But if I'm on first base and a ball is hit out to the outfield, I'm going to third on Cedric. Mm-hmm. I may not go to third on Kowser or any other center fielder. I think that's what kills him in the metrics.
Well, if you trade Cedric, and we were talking about this on break here, but if you trade Cedric, then you got a chance to bring up Dylan Beavers.
Yeah.
He's a guy who they've got to figure out what they have. He's hitting up a storm at AAA, and it would make all kinds of sense to have him in the big leagues. And yeah. And then you don't have to trade Laureano, but he might be a Laureano replacement next year.
Yeah. Ken, tell us all about Film Study Baltimore.
Yeah, so filmstudybaltimore.com is the website. I'm at Film Study Ravens on Twitter. I have camp notes every day. And if you want a really detailed look at this one-score game issue that Warren Sharp started up, take a look at that. That came out on Monday.
There you go.